Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, we serve a faithful God, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. He is ever faithful. Major, thank you so much. All right. So, good morning. Good morning, church. Hi, my name is Yvonne Samia, and I am so blessed, so honored, absolutely, to be with you this Super Bowl Sunday morning in the house of the Lord. And I want to say good luck to all your teams out there. I see the wonderful jerseys that you all have on, and I just wanted to show off my shirt as well, Team Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, right? Yeah. So if you are on Team Jesus, can I get a big amen?
Amen.
We already won. Absolutely. Absolutely. We already won. Yep. So I just want to say that you're all winners for being here already. You're true champions. Amen. All right. So welcome to our sermon series. It's called Experience God, and it's a church-wide study. You know, I've done this study with a couple of other groups before, and it's given me such a fresh perspective about my relationship with God. And I hope you all have been enjoying this study with the workbook as well. And my prayer is that throughout this study, that you would have a real encounter with God, that you would experience God right smack where you are in whatever is going on in your life and in whatever God is already doing in and around you. And so let me pray before we get started. Oh, Father God, we love you so much, and thank you, Heavenly Father, that you love us. Father, I ask that your presence would saturate this place. God, I have no idea what everyone here is going through or what they might need to hear to be encouraged. But you know everything. You are the Almighty God, and only your word, Father, can make a difference, can make the change that they need. And so I pray that you would speak, Holy Spirit, and that their hearts would be open to hear not me, Lord, but to hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. So week one of this sermon series was titled God's Will and Your Life. And so I hope you all have a takeaway every time we go through these units. And, you know, my takeaway from that first lesson was this, that our question should not be, God, what can I do for you? Because what can we do for God, right? He knows everything. He is everything. But rather, our question should be, God, what are you doing? See, God is already at work all around us, and he invites us to join him. So church, look around you. What is God already doing? See, it reminds me of my husband, Jerry. He's always doing something around the house, or in the yard, or in the garage, or with the cars. And over the years, when our sons were growing up, he'd invite them to come and help him. And so fast forward to today, my son John, who's grown, he's married with kids, and he lives next door. His morning routine is just like his dad. At 4:30 a.m., I hear John fire up his Chevy truck. Then while the truck is warming up, he rakes any leaves in the front yard that fell overnight. And then he waters his grass. And then he wipes down his windshield and then hops in the truck and heads to work. John does what he saw his father do in that exact same order. And the neighbors always say to me, wow, John is truly his father's son. See, church, that's what God does when he invites us to join him in what he's already been doing. We are constantly being formed into the image of him, to look like him and to do like him. And then others will take notice and be attracted, not to you, but to the God who abides within you and the fruit that will show up in your life. So think about this. Are you our Heavenly Father's son? Are you his daughter? Do you look like him? Do you live like him? Last week, Major Debbie's message was from the second unit, Looking to God. And my takeaway from that was, where is my trust? Do I truly trust God enough to surrender my all to Him? To be God-centered and not self-centered? Do I trust Him enough that even during the hard times, even when it's super painful, that I patiently allow God to develop my character to match the assignment that He has for my life? Trust in the name of the Lord our God. His timing is always perfect. Now today, we'll look at Unit 3, and it's titled, God Pursues a Love Relationship. The word pursue means to follow, to track, to chase, to hunt, to stalk you in a very positive way. Isn't that awesome? That's how much God wants to have a love relationship with you. That even though we fall short, because the Bible says that we all fall short, right? Romans 3:23, that we all fall short of the glory of God. And yet, He stalks us in a very positive way. See, church, God loves you more than you can ever imagine. God loves you more than even your spouse could ever love you. He loves you more than your kids could ever love you. And God wants us to love Him back with everything that we have, with all that we have. And so that's our memory verse for today. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 38. And many of you probably already know it. And so think about this. Have you ever experienced this, like when your kids were young and you're driving around, and then they say, hey, Mom, can we go through the drive-thru at McDonald's? And then you say, no, we don't have any money to go through the drive-thru. And then they're like, well, let's just go to the ATM machine and get some money, right? Yeah. And inside, you're thinking, hello, you got to put something in before you can take something out. Yeah. And it's the same thing, the same concept with our spiritual bank, that we have to put the word of God in our spiritual bank so that when we need it, and you all know that we're going to need it at some point in our life every day, that it's there for us to draw on. And so that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to make a deposit into our spiritual bank. And we're going to learn, if we don't already know, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 38. So it's up on the screen here, and let's just all read it together. Ready? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So when I was teaching my children when they were very young, we always did hand motions to the words, right? Because then it makes it easier for them to remember. So when you see my hands going, it's just a habit that it's been for years. And so we're going to do this verse again, and we're going to take out some words, and we're going to start to do it from memory. So let's do that with some of the words gone. Ready? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Very good. Very good. All right. Let's do it one more time, and we're going to take out even more words. Okay? Here we go. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. You guys are awesome. Good job. All right. So it's great to memorize the verses, right? But what we also want to do is to understand the verses as they are presented in the Bible. We want to understand the verses and what's going on in the Bible during that time. And so oftentimes to understand the verses that we're studying, we have to go like a little before those verses and a little after. So I want to go back to Matthew 22, but I want to start it, and I'm going to read to you from verse 34, and it says this. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. See, church, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were religious and political leaders in the community. Let me give you the backstory here. The Sadducees were the wealthy landowners, and the Pharisees were like the middle-class business people. And they differed greatly in their religious beliefs. For instance, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in resurrection, they didn't believe in angels or spirits. The Pharisees did. So these two groups of leaders, they were pretty oppositional towards each other, but they joined forces in the persecution of Jesus. So in Matthew 22, the Sadducees are trying to trick Jesus with a confusing example about resurrection. They ask him this. They ask him, so Jesus, if a woman's husband dies and she marries his brother, which was customary back then, and then this brother dies, and so she marries the next brother, and then that brother dies, and so she marries the next brother, right? In the resurrection, which brother will she be married to? But see, Jesus sees past that, and he doesn't fall for their ploy to trick him. And he sets them straight in front of a crowd. So, after Jesus basically gongs the Sadducees, the Pharisees send one of their best to step up front to confront Jesus, hoping to expose Jesus as a fake. And he asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, again, knows what they're up to. And so in his infinite wisdom, he replies with verses 37 to 40, basically taking all the commandments and rolling them into these two. Meaning, if you live by these two commandments, then all the other commandments and laws for that matter, if you love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul and mind, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, then all the commandments, all the laws will be covered. Because if you live like that, you won't use God's name in vain. If you love the Lord like that, you'll keep his day and every day holy. If you truly love the Lord and love others, you will honor your father and mother. You won't kill, commit adultery, or steal. You won't bear false witness or covet your neighbor. And so, church, that's why it's so important to have more than just a religion. You need a relationship with Jesus. Because religion alone will not fulfill or sustain you. See, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were very religious people, but they did not have a relationship with Jesus. And so I have 5 points from the Experiencing God study that I want to share with you. And the first one is this. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. When you have a real love relationship with God, you will see him work wherever you are. When you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you won't be self-centered, you'll be God-centered. And when you accept his invitation to join him in his work, he will place you in positions you never even dreamed could happen. And so, you know, each of us, God has given a platform, and it may not be in a 50,000, you know, stadium or 75,000, however many that stadium holds, or across the television ways of millions of people. It might be right in your workplace. It might be right in your family. It might be here in the church. But what a great opportunity that was for him to share the goodness of God, right? All right. And so point number two is this. God never speaks without a purpose. God never speaks without a purpose. I have a friend who is an air traffic controller here in Hawaii, here in Honolulu, and we were having a really interesting conversation about, especially in busy airports like LAX, and we were talking about how airplanes like take off and how they land on the same runway in like 1 minute intervals. So can you imagine how potentially dangerous that can be? That one takes off on the runway and another comes in on the same runway like just a minute later. And so because of this, the air traffic controller up in the tower has to have total control. And the pilot, no matter his rank or seniority, has to be totally obedient to the air traffic controller's direction that's coming in over the headset. See, the pilot is driving the plane, but the air traffic controller has all the relevant information and the overall view to make sure that the plane is safe in the air on the runway while taking off and landing. And it's not just about the pilot, but there are passengers on that plane as well, right? And these passengers are trusting that they will reach their destination safely. Church, I want to say this to each and every one of you, that God needs you, He needs me, to be that driving force for His ultimate purpose, and that is to advance His kingdom, to get His people to their final destination, which is heaven. God's plan for the advancement of His kingdom really depends on His working in real and practical ways through His love relationships with us, with all of us. And so, you think Coach Sweeney's relationship with God has made an impact on his players and coaches for kingdom purposes? Absolutely, absolutely, I believe that. See, even the greatest coaches, whether in college or professional football, they have their headsets on, and they're getting help and direction from someone who has a higher view, from someone who might have a better plan. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to speak with us, but we have to be listening. We have to have those headsets tuned in to Him. My third point is this. God is a God who pursues. A love relationship with God is more important than any other factor in your life. That was a great place to say amen, church. Amen, right? A love relationship with God is more important than any other factor in your life. See, everything in your Christian life, everything about knowing God and experiencing God, everything about knowing God's will for your life depends on the quality of your love relationship with Him. Amen. Okay. Point number four is this. We don't have quiet times so that we can grow to love God. We have quiet times because we love God. So if that's a little confusing for you, think about it like this. How many of you can truly say that you love God? That you love God, right? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, that you just love Him. And so answer this question to yourself. How much quality time do you actually spend with Him? Right? If your spouse tells you that he loves you, but he never spends any kind of quality time with you, are you feeling the love? If you tell your children that you love them, but you never spend any kind of quality time with them, will they be confident of your love? We often see that in celebrity parents, right? They're highly successful in their careers, but their kids never see them. And if you say to your parents you love them, but you never spend any kind of quality time with them, is that true love? We have a team of women who, as we speak, are ministering to the residents at Ilima Lejano. Ilima Lejano is a residential home for the elderly, and most of the people who live there are like 80s and 90s. And it's a beautiful place, and their families have put them there to live in a beautiful place. But when we go and we minister to them and we speak with them and we pray with them, their hearts are so broken because they're so lonely that even though they get to live in this beautiful place, they don't have much time with their family because everybody's so busy, right? And so time with others, time with God is the most important thing. And my last, as I call the praise and worship team back, is this. Point number five. When we obey God, it says, I love you. I want to share with you my journey with my parents. And so my parents, they've been living with me and my husband, my family, for like the past 5-6 years. And in 2017, I started hearing God speak to my heart. And my dad's health was really starting to fail at that point. And I knew God kept telling me what I should do, but I really didn't want to hear it. I wanted to do all the things that I was doing, like working at the CROC, you know, being involved in the community, doing all kinds of things that I thought was really cool. But God kept speaking to my heart, and I knew that, you know, where I wanted to, like, take off the headsets, I didn't want to hear him. I wanted to chart my own course. He kept speaking to my heart that this is what he wanted me to do, to join him. He was doing something special in my own family. And so in September of 2017, I resigned from my position here at the CROC. And I was obedient to God in staying home and caring for my parents, especially my father, full time. And through this time since then, like watching the progression of his health as it declined, it was hard. You know, it was a blessing, but if I'm to be totally truthful and transparent, it was really hard just to see this man and his health go deteriorate so bad. And in December of 2018, hospice became involved, and they're a wonderful organization. And they taught us how to care for my father in his last days. And my dad, he's a proud man. He served in the Air Force for 24 years. He's a Vietnam veteran. And my father went from being this very capable man who always took care of others to being totally dependent on others for his very basic need. And so I would change his diaper and bathe him in bed. And in the last month that he lived, he wouldn't eat anything at all. And so we just gave him water through a syringe because he was too weak to drink through the straw. And we give him his morphine because of the pain. And then on January 20th, 2019, my dad boarded that flight to heaven. But the way that it happened was so beautiful, and I'm so thankful to God. So thankful that I got to care for him in my home to the very end. And we were all in that bedroom. And it was us kids and our kids, his grandkids and his great-grandkids. And it was in the evening, and we sang worship songs till late, till like 10:30 at night, and we prayed around his bedside. And we kept saying, hey, Dad, when God opens the door, you go, that mom's going to be fine. And so when God calls you, you go, and you see my brother Dale and all those, our loved ones who went before us, you go, Dad. And then what we did every night is we would bathe him down so that he would sleep well at night. And so around 10:30, we started to bathe him and just continue singing so that he would be fresh and have a good sleep overnight. And just after midnight, my dad went home to be with the Lord. And it was just so beautiful the way it all happened. So just after midnight, my dad goes home to be with the Lord. And just before noon, on that very same day, my son Moses and his wife Jana gives birth to a brand new healthy baby boy. Isn't our God awesome? Like, how do you not love a God like that? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, we serve, church, such a faithful God. We serve a loving and a faithful God. So I want to say this to you, that when you exit these doors, you will be entering God's mission field. And when you go to that Super Bowl party, somebody there needs Jesus. And you just never know how God will invite you to join him in the most unexpected ways. So go and enjoy the game and cheer on your team. But don't take your headsets off, because God wants to speak to you. He wants to give you direction towards a destination. He wants to call a play that he needs you to execute. Somebody just might be depending on you to show them the way to heaven. And what a victory that would be. Church, when we obey God, it says, "I love you, Lord." Would you just say one more time with me, Matthew 22, 37 to 38. Let's say it. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And so the praise and worship team is going to play a song. And I don't know what you've been going through, but God knows. And he's here. And we have prayer warriors who would love to pray with you if there's anything that you want to lift up to God. And then there's the altar that's open. If you just want to come and be with you and Jesus, please come. I'm going to turn it over to the praise and worship. Amen. Amen. Let me pray us out. Father God, Lord, we're just so blessed, Heavenly Father. Your word says where two or more are gathered in your name, that you are here in our midst. And so, Holy Spirit, we just thank you so much. Father, we thank you for all that you are already doing in and around us, Father, and that you invite us to join you, Lord. Father, help us. Help us to love you like you love us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to surrender our all unto you, Father, and to trust that you will do great things, because we know that you will. And Father, may everything, Heavenly Father, that we do, may we remember to give you all the glory, honor, and praise, for you are a faithful God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.